Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tiravana Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Dana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Prajajana Ranjana Jaya Vraja Janarandana Jaya Muna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद श्री कृष्ण Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Radha Kunja Vihari Radha Kunja Vihari Radhe Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radhe Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe Jaya Gaurangitai 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 Sisi Gaurangitai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Gurudev. ಪಾವನ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಕ್ಕೆ श्री श्री राधाष्टमी महामहोत्सव के, श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी के, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद के, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम के,
हरे कृष्ण सभी भक्तों से विनती है।
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So we'll recite this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adilila, chapter 4, text number 83.
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para Atayeva Sarva Pujya. Paramat.
Sorry, this is different tune.
Atayeva Sarva Pujya Paramadevata सर्वपालिका सर्वजगते रमाता।
Three devotees can recite, please. Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is a central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Purport. This text is from the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. And the next verse, 89. Therefore, Radha is Paramadevata, the Supreme Goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. In the verses between, in between, there is an explanation about this Devi Krishnamayi verse. Huh? Devi means resplendent and most beautiful. Or another meaning of the word Devi is the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishnamayi means one who is within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or another meaning of the word Krishnamayi means she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Yeah, the energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. That's the meaning. Radharani is the energy of Krishna, so she is identical with him. So these are two meanings of the word Krishnamayi. One who is within and without our Lord Krishna, and one who is identical with Krishna. And Devi, two meanings of the word Devi, resplendent and most beautiful, or the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Today we are celebrating the most auspicious appearance of Srimati Radharani. I was hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada on Radhashtami. On days like this, to speak on such exalted subject as the great personality, the greatest of all personalities, Srimati Radharani, who is not even understandable by Krishna, who claims himself to be Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjuna. Arjuna, I know everyone, I know everything, Krishna says. Of course, Bhagavad Gita, he didn't say further. Later on we come to know, I only don't know one thing. What is it? I don't understand the greatness of Srimati Radharani. That he tells later. Outside Bhagavad Gita, out of syllabus. And then that Krishna who claimed I know everything and about me no one knows, he said. But there is one person who knows Krishna. Who is it? Srimati Radharani. And to know Srimati Radharani, Krishna himself had to accept the position of Radharani to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he comes as later on as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if Krishna cannot know Srimati Radharani, what can a tiny tot like me speak anything here? It would be a shameful proposition to be speaking about Radharani like an upstart. If even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot estimate her glories, cannot understand her devotion, it is beyond his comprehension. He himself has to adopt her mood to come to her position to understand her. So, but although in the Shastras, many times such great topics are called inconceivable to us, still we describe the inconceivable to some degree, within our own capacity, so that we can at least understand how exalted these personalities are. Just like in a huge heap of sugar, the ant may just taste a small one or two particles and think that he has tasted the entire sugar. Similarly, when we talk about the glories of Srimati Radharani, we can only begin to appreciate with our own limited understanding something by which you can understand that there is a ocean of unfathomable glories of Sri Radha that they describe, the scriptures describe us. Is the sound clear enough backside? You can hear? Prabhu, you can hear? Behind? They can't hear, they are saying. You can put it. Unko sunai nahi de raha piche. You can't hear? They can't hear. Is it, huh? They can reduce the kitchen noise a little bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All right, now? Okay. You see, to experience pleasure or joy, you know, two people are required. One person cannot enjoy alone. I was telling you, I heard in a lecture of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was saying, imagine at midnight I'm sitting and giving a lecture and there is no one with me. I won't have any pleasure. But when you are, and then Prabhupada says, today is Radhashtami, I'm giving a lecture, so many of you are present. When you speak to some people who listen and understand and appreciate, then there is exchange of pleasure, he says. Similarly, alone nobody can enjoy pleasure, but when there is a family, you know, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, children, family, there is a group, then there is some pleasure, isn't it? Similarly, the Supreme Lord also, he cannot enjoy pleasure alone. That is why the Upanishads explain, Eko Bahusyama, it says, that one Supreme has become many tiny part and parcels in which Krishna expands. So the tiny part and parcels serve the Supreme. And in that exchange, there is love. Even Taittiriya Upanishad, the Vedanta Sutra, they all say the same thing. Similar verses are present. Raso vaisaha rasam hi evayam labdvanandi bhavati. The same verse is quoted in Vedanta also. So Krishna enjoys unlimited rasa, especially when he, through his parts and parcels, when he exchanges love with them. And in this way, his enjoyment is of a very high degree. In that connection, Shukadeva Goswami asks a question. Even the Brahman realized in jnanis, to experience Brahman, they give up all the material pleasure of this world. Is it not? And they go to Himalayas. If even the living entities in this world have to give up material pleasure to experience Brahmananda, do you think Krishna will be having anything to do with material enjoyment? Does it make any sense? Even to realize Brahman or Parabrahman, one has to give up mental enjoyment. One has to develop vairagya. One has to develop virakti. And then one can, you know, like we say, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Shochitana Kankshati. One can come to that stage. What is because of the Supreme Lord, his quality of enjoyment naturally will also be very fine, the finest, and it is spiritual enjoyment. Shukadeva Goswami asked another question to Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj was asking certain queries regarding rasa dance, so Shukadeva Goswami told him, carrying Krishna in their own hearts, there are so many Vaishnavas, saintly souls in this world who wander on the surface of the globe without getting contaminated by the three modes of material nature. If carrying Krishna in the heart, they are becoming purified, how can that Lord Krishna be impure? How he can engage in any contaminating activity like a boy-girl relationship? If by carrying him, others become pure. So Krishna is the most supreme pure. So these two propositions were presented by Shukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very important to understand the quality of the nature of Krishna's pleasure, exchange of pleasure that we are talking about. Raso vaisaha rasam hi evayam labdvanandi bhavati. So when we talk about understanding Krishna's exchange of bliss, first we have to know about Krishna himself. If you don't know who Krishna is, like you know, you don't know who is a big man, you don't know about him, then how can we know about his internal affairs of his family, his intimate relationships with his family members? So first one has to know about the greatness of the man himself. So Srila Prabhupada often would say, draw a picture of Krishna conducting the affairs of the whole universe, instead of drawing a picture of Radha and Krishna, Prabhupada would say. Like you often find in India, many people putting some sensuous pictures of Radha and Krishna and selling it in the market. By seeing that, people even become more agitated in their mind and become impure rather than developing love for Krishna. So Prabhupada used to say, first step in spiritual life is to understand the greatness of Krishna. That is why Prabhupada said, draw a picture with Krishna controlling the universal affairs. And then one devotee showed Prabhupada how Mahavishnu is creating all the universes from his body. Prabhupada said, yes, this is wanted, Prabhupada said. This is wanted. This picture should be propagated, he said. So, this is ABC in spiritual life. To begin to understand what God is and how He functions, what His Shakti is, which we call as Achintya Shakti or Parashakti. What is that? To understand the Tattva about Krishna and His Shakti. Without that, entering into the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis or Krishna and the gopas, these pastimes would simply be an eyewash. They will not produce the necessary purification of heart when one approaches these pastimes directly without knowing Krishna's greatness. In fact, one is, first of all, we have to know Krishna's greatness, and then, like one lecture of Radhashtami Prabhupada gave, he spoke about Krishna's different shaktis, how Krishna creates the universe, how Krishna is super soul in the heart of everybody. So many things Prabhupada spoke. I heard the whole lecture and I was wondering, is this Radhashtami lecture or Janmashtami lecture? At the end, Prabhupada said one last line, and such a great Krishna is controlled by Srimati Radharani's devotion. And today is Radhashtami day, Prabhupada said. That's all, that was the end of the lecture. Generally in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find whenever somebody has to be glorified, there is a particular method of glorification. Like say in Ramayana also, you want to tell about Vali, how Vali is great. when Ravana had gone, after having heard the glories of Vali, he went to Kishkindha to find out how powerful he is. And then when Ravana saw, he became a little frightened because Vali was so huge in size. So Ravana thought, I will go behind him and pick up his tail and twist him and whirl him, creating dizziness, and I'll beat him on the ground. With that idea, he went to the most dangerous place. What was it? The behind portion, close to the tail. So when he went, Vali immediately caught hold of him in the tail. He was like a small mosquito in front of Vali, you see. But of course, Vali never even saw who he was until he went to four Chardham Yatra, he did, and did three Gayatris in that. And then the night when he came back, he saw, who is this fellow, ten-headed monster, Ravana. And then he thought, he's a very nice toy for his son to play, for Angada. So he, in the cradle, people sometimes hang a toy, you know. Like that he hanged Ravana there. And the boy, small child, was enjoying looking at the ten-headed. So, now we can understand how powerful is Vali, is it not? In the same manner, whenever you have to explain somebody's greatness, the scriptures do this. They tell about someone else, and then they compare that person to this person. Like the Prabhupada did. He first told the glories of Krishna, and then he told them. Now you see Srimati Radharani. Krishna attracts the whole world, and Srimati Radharani's devotion attracts Krishna also. So you can understand how great is the devotion. And why should we know it? Because to attract Krishna is very difficult. Because Krishna is attracting the whole world, but he is the owner of everything, possessor of everything. How can we attract him? What can we give him? It's very difficult. Just like when you want to please some very big man, there is no continent he has not traveled to. There is no car he has not traveled in. There is no type of food that he has not eaten. There is no type of cloth that he has not worn. There is no place in the world which he has not seen. He has practically enjoyed his whole life. And he has done everything. Now, what are you going to provide him that is going to be great? Sometimes you give some gift to somebody, they just keep it aside. Because they have received so many gifts from so many people. Most of the time, for very well-to-do people, receiving a gift becomes a formality for them. They will have some servants with them. Somebody gives a big gift, they will take it and give it to servant, take it and go. It's no great. For Krishna is also, it's like that only. Who can give what gift to him? Isn't it? But when we are dealing with such a big people, we have to find out what will please them. If one can know what will please them, then you do that exactly that will please them. Like one gentleman came here to temple. He brought his child. He brought a small child. He took darshan, everything. And the child told the father, "Papa, you see in the garden kuti, there are some children sitting. Can I also go and play with them?" And he said, "Yes, why not?" So he took the child. So child was, the child used to keep very mum and keep quiet. Every mother and father want to see the child, speaking and doing some activity and being very dynamic. Every parent want to see the child very brisk. So he was thinking that my child is a bit dull and not opening up and true introvertish. But when he brought the child, the boy went to the garden and joined our Krishna Kingdom classes, and he developed friendship and appreciated the classes very much. So he told the father, "This is the best place I've ever seen in my life. I like it very much. So please bring me again." So 2-3 weeks he brought, and then he became very impressed with all our children classes. Later on, he went on to give 3 acres in Lonavala as a gift to Pune temple. You know that? He gave us, already given. Yeah, 3 acres. He gave a land and donation because he was very impressed. So I asked him, "What touched you so much deeply, your heart?" He said, "My child was very happy here. So I felt like donating." So he donated. So, why I was telling this example, so for such a big man on his own, he may not want to give a big gift, but he was touched in his heart because his child was very happy. Similarly, pleasing a very big person is very difficult, but we have to know what will please that person. So, Srimati Radharani's devotion is the one which attracts Krishna the most. So, if you understand what will inspire Srimati Radharani, what should we do so that she will be able to recommend us to Krishna? Her recommendation is the best recommendation. There cannot be a better recommendation. Like I remember some of our students in our IIT days, when they would go to America, they would aim at some big university, Pennsylvania State University or Massachusetts or Ohio State or something like that. But by their own effort, they may end up getting in some Alabama university or some very low-class university. They may end up getting. Sometimes they will try to circumvent the teacher and try to apply on their own. They will get in some very pathetic university with no scholarships also. They have to go and wash a car to get some money to pay the fee. On the other hand, there are boys who may not have good marks also. They got average marks, but they earned a very good name from the teacher. So they would get a reco from the professor, and they may get in the best of the universities. Because when you go to US, what works is the reco. The reco is good. You get scholarship, you get a doctorate seat, and then you can very... And even with poor marks. Similarly, Prabhupada says, we may be rascal, we may be foolish, we may not be very exalted, and our ability to perform big penances may be very less. But somehow, if we serve Srimati Radha and she is pleased, then she can recommend her name to Krishna. When that reco comes, then Krishna cannot deny. Krishna will accept, he says. So, Prabhupada says on this auspicious day, one should offer a flower at the hand of Srimati Radharani and say, "Oh Srimati Radharani, what can I offer to Krishna? You offer this flower to your Krishna," he says. And why Prabhupada says you offer this flower to your Krishna, that we will explain now. That is going to be the subject today. So, Krishna, why Krishna is so grateful for her devotion, we will see today. So when Srimati Radharani offers the flower to Krishna and says, here is a nice devotee who wants to engage in your service, then Krishna will immediately accept that recommendation. That is why Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritimashritaha bhajantyananya manaso jnatva bhutadimavyayam. The Mahatmas, very intelligently, they always take shelter of the Shakti, Achintya Shakti or the Parashakti or the Daivi Shakti of Krishna, which is Srimati Radharani. We can give innumerable examples from Srimad Bhagavatam. How great devotees never worship Krishna alone. They always worship Krishna with his Shakti. For example, some time ago we were reading this Varaha Dev, when he comes. At that time, all the great sages are offering a prayer. O Lord Varaha, we are worshipping you along with your Dharmapatni Lakshmi, who is the mother of the universe, and she is the provider of all the necessities of her life, everything. So they are saying they are worshipping Varaha, but they are not worshipping Varaha alone. They are worshipping along with the Sahapatnyau, like that they are saying, along with Bhudevi, Sridevi, Lord Balaji is worshipped. Like that we worship, offer our namaskar to you, like that they are saying. Similarly, you find when the devatas and asuras were churning the milk ocean, at that time there is a verse which says that the devatas were blessed by the glance of Lakshmi, because of which They were very cheerful, they were very joyful, they all got nourishment in Sattvaguna by the blessings of Mother Lakshmi. So when her Karunya Katakash falls on the Jivas, they become Bhagyavan, Lakshmi Sampanna, as we say. Then they prosper, they flourish in prosperity when Lakshmi's glance falls on them. Of course, Vishnu is the one who is giving them so many instructions and everything, but they are also blessed by Lakshmi. That is mentioned there. So, you will find similarly in that verse, there is a verse in the section of Bharat Maharaj where it is said, all the devatas, they pray to Lakshmi for a small glance on them, because Lakshmi's glance means great favor for them. The mother's favor. Without her favor, one cannot please the father. That is the verse which says that. So in this way, you will find, sometimes it's very amazing that one might even take shelter of Vishnu or Krishna or anybody, but without the full support of the Shakti of the Lord, the consort of the Lord, one's life will not be perfect. There is a story in one of the Puranic stories. It says that there were two demons, Harsha and Marsha, two brothers. They were very dangerous demons of their times. They were creating a lot of trouble for all the devatas. So the devatas, all of them, they went to Lord Kartikeya. Lord Kartikeya is a Devasenapati. So he assured them that I will finish these demons. And there was a very great war that ensued. And despite all the big battle, these two, Harsha Marsha, they were so cooperative brothers also, very cooperative demons. They drove away all the demigods. Then the demigods went to Brahma. Then Brahma again performed penance and tried to gain some Shakti along with all the devatas. He again told the devatas to wage a war. Second time they lost also. Then later on, Brahma took all the devatas and they went to Shiva. And then when Shiva performed penance, He told them that you won't be able to kill these two demons because they are chanting a secret mantra. And what is the secret mantra? They found out it was Vishnu mantra they were chanting. Because they knew Vishnu mantra, all the devatas came to know that now we will not be able to go to Lord Vishnu also. Because Vishnu cannot kill his own devotees. He will not kill. He will not do that. And what is to be done? At that time all the devatas, they went to the door of Goloka Vrindavan. They prayed, O Golokeshwari, Srimati Radharani, they prayed to her. They said, these two demons are creating too much trouble. You only can help us. And Radharani ordered the Sudarshan to go and finish them and come. Those two fellows are finished by Sudarshan. That is why I told you this pastime, because you will find sometimes you want to sell a Bhagavad Gita, you give it to a man, you know, he may be, you know, seeing the Bhagavad Gita inside, outside, everything, you know, the verses and shloka, you explain to him, pictures and everything you show. And then his wife tells him, not required. Finished, he'll give it to you back. You seen that? Yeah. On the other hand, you give a Bhagavad Gita to a person and his wife says, hey, that book looks nice, please take it. Without opening the book, he'll take it. You seen that? Recommendation. So, wife is a finance department. Just the Lakshmi. So you find in this pastime, what you learn is the favor of Shakti, the eternal consort of the Lord, is required. So devotees understand, because all the jivas actually echo Bahusyama when you say, Lord is expanded to many, we are actually meant for Krishna's pleasure only. But how to engage in his service for his pleasure, that we don't know. For that we need the guidance of the Supreme Mother, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. How to engage in Lord's service to please him. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized all the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one verse called as Dashamula Siksha. There are 10 truths he teaches. Am Naya Praha Tattvam Harimiha Paramam Rasabdim. Like that one truth he says. Amnaya means the Vedic literature. The Vedic literature is the basis. Harimiha Paramam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Hari. Sarva Shaktim. He is endowed with unlimited Shaktis. Rasabdim, he says. And also he is endowed with the Rasa, or the transcendental mellows. And then he will tell 3 truths about the Jivas. Prakriti Kavalitan. He will say that the Jivatma is captured by the Prakriti. Then he will tell about 3 truths about Jivas. Then 1 truth about Sadhya. 1 truth about Sadhana. And ultimately 1 truth about the ultimate goal, which is Krishna Prem. So he teaches all those things. These are all teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But on each of these truths he has devoted a lot of time in describing each of these truths. So I am going to speak on one section of his writing called the Shakti Vichar, we call it. The Shakti Vichar is the potencies of Krishna, Shaktis of Krishna. And what is his basis? Based on Upanishads, based on the Vedas, based on Puranas. He gives all quotes and references. So you'll be amazed how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he knows well that the people have faith in the Shastras. So based on Shastras, he has extracted these truths about Shakti. So here he is giving a quote from Shetra Shetra Upanishad, which is well known. Natascha karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samascha vyadikascha drishyate parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate svabhava kijnana balakriya cha. You see, natasya karyam karanam. Karanam means the senses, material senses, the 10 senses we all use to do things. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The Lord doesn't need any material senses like the living entities to do his activities. Why? Because he does all his activities simply through his shaktis, he says. Now Krishna, anything and everything he wants to do, he does through his achintya shakti. Now what is the meaning of this word achintya? Achintya means inconceivable. Why it is inconceivable, as we progress, you will understand why the Shakti is called inconceivable. His potency is known as Achintya because the human intellect is unable to fathom it. Parashakti is another name for Achintya Shakti. See, 3 words are used here. Parasa Shaktir Bibhidaiva Shruyate Swabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya. Now, jnana is what? Sat. It is also called as sambit. Sat and sambit potency is called knowledge, jnana. Bala is what? Sandini. Sandini potency. It is also called Samvit is Chit and Bala is Sat. Jnana Bala Kriya. Kriya is which one? Kriya is actually Hladini potency or the pleasure potency. By the dynamic variegated activities in the spiritual world, the Hladini is producing bliss for the Supreme Lord. So those three are only used here. Jnana, Bala, Kriya. So the Supreme Lord has a Shakti, which is actually called as Swarupa Shakti. And that Shakti manifests itself in these three. Bala, Kriya. Jnana, Bala, Kriya. Three things. You will see in this world also, all of us are looking for these three things only. Like, why do we go to schools and colleges? We want Jnana. Is it not? We are looking for that. Similarly, the Sat feature is the... Similarly, everybody in this world is also looking for Ananda also. Happiness also. So the Sat, Chit, Ananda, these three are actually Jnana, Bala, Kriya. Sabhavaki, Jnana, Bala, Kriya. This is another verse from Shvetashvetara Upanishad. Very beautiful verse. Ajamekam Lohita Shukla Krishnam Vahvi Praja Srijamanam Swarupaha Ajohiye ko jushamano nushete jahatyenam bhukta bhogam ajonyaha. He is saying here, she is called as Swarupaha. Swarupaha means she is considered the same as the Supreme Lord. That's why she is called Swarupa, Shakti. Which means she is non-different from the Supreme Lord. There is another verse which says, Shakti, Shakti Matayor Abedaha. There is one verse which says, the Shaktiman and Shakti are one and different. They are simultaneously one and they are also different. Here also she is called as Swarupaha. And what he says, there is one living entity, Ajo, who is unborn. He eko jushamano anushete. Shete means to sleep. Jushamano means to enjoy. There is one living entity, he says, who is trying to enjoy this material nature, this Shakti, thinking that he is the master. So he is called as a so-called Purusha, Katakatit Purusha. He is thinking. Actually, as he says here, she is Swarupa, the energy of the Supreme Lord, and she is unborn, an eternal consort, non-different from, okay. Here he says here, she is served and worshipped by an unborn personality, the conditioned Jiva, who in his ignorance considers himself the Purusha, the enjoyer of the material nature. You see, this requires a little explanation. Like the material nature, we think is meant to serve us, but we end up serving the material nature. You see, in a place like Bombay, 15 million people are living now. Although the city can contain only 1.5 million people. It's such a small place, but it is packed with people. 10 times the population. So why do people come to a city? Because people think that if you come to a city, you can make more money. Why do they want more money? More money means more exchange you can do with for pleasure can get. So, material enjoyment means manipulating matter. That is material enjoyment. Or like technological advancement. What it is? You know, manipulating matter. Matter is who? Durga Devi. Trying to take the resources offered by Durga and trying to exploit and enjoy. The living being thinks he is going to enjoy, but the more he tries to enjoy, the more he suffers. And he finds himself ending up in a city infested with pollution and difficulty to get pure water, even to breathe pure air. He may have a lot of money in his pocket, but he can't enjoy life. You can see that. That's why he says here that actually the one Purusha thinks that this Maya Devi is meant for my pleasure. I will enjoy. And in the course of enjoying, he only suffers. So it is said when you approach Shakti to become Shaktiman, she gives a punch on the nose. What she gives? You try to become Shaktiman by approaching Shakti. That's why she is holding a trident, Trishul, in her hands. You approach Shakti to serve the Supreme Shaktiman Krishna, then she will have a lotus in her hands. That is Radharani, Lakshmi, Sita. That is also Shakti. So, she has two roles. In one role, she is called as Mohini. Mohini means in Maya Jal, she puts everybody in this world, in Moha Maya Jal. Like we sing, no? Ai giri nandini nandita medini vishva vimohini shaila sute. So vishva vimohini, what is the vimohata? That vimohata is to think that I am the Purusha. And I will exploit and enjoy this material nature, resources and everything. That is, so everybody is in Maya Jal. So she puts them. But if somebody approaches her, please engage me in Krishna's service. Then the very same Mahamaya she turns into Yogamaya, which is Srimati Radharani. Or Lakshmi, Sita, they have a lotus in the hands. You can see our Kunjibari, Radha Kunjibari, Radharani is holding a lotus in the hand. Why lotus? You don't deserve a trident because you want to serve Krishna. She is not going to show a trident for you. Have you ever seen Radha or Lakshmi holding a trident? Trishu. So, this is one jiva. Ajo hi eko jushamano anushete. Jushamano means to exploit and enjoy. Anushete means sleeping. There is a sleeping soul who thinks that I will enjoy the material nature, like that he thinks.
Jahati yenam bukta bogam ajo anyaha.
Jahati means to give up. Yenam, this material world, bukta boga. There is another living being who understands that no, I cannot enjoy this world because I am not the Purusha, I am Prakriti. I should engage myself in Krishna's service. So he gives up exploiting tendency. And then he can attain perfection. Like that Shetra Shetra Upanishad talks about it. Why I am quoting from these things for you? Because sometimes when we talk about the Jivatma, Paramatma and all these things, people think it is only for the Bhaktas. We are jnanis, we will become one with God, people think. That is why we should quote from Upanishad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting. This kind of verses. He's explaining. So, in this way he explains there's two types of Purusha Jivas, you see. So, we should become the second type in this. So that we understand the Shakti, the Supreme Mother, who can engage us in Lord service rather than trying to exploit her resources that she is providing. You see, one problem with all the objects of this world she provides, they are all infested with three modes. Rajoguna, Tamoguna, Sattoguna. These three modes. So any material object in this world infested with the three modes cannot give us enjoyment. They all are pregnant with suffering. Pregnant with suffering means you touch them, they will deliver you suffering. Immediately. If you don't believe, you try in this world to enjoy, and we can see from womb to tomb we are suffering in this world. The more we try to enjoy the things of the world. Like for example, somebody says, I will get a car so that I can lead a very comfortable life. But is the car serving me or am I serving the car? If you very carefully see. You can ask the boys who are having a bike before, now they have a car. You can ask them. Now is the car serving you or you are serving the car? If you see, you know, you have to spend some money for putting petrol for the car. You have to take a hose pipe and wash the car. If the car gets broken down, you have to take it to your garage. Is it not true? You have to repair the car. You have to pay car tax. All these things. So instead of car giving me enjoyment, then I end up serving the car. You will see that. So generally everybody in this world approaches Maya with the hope that Maya is going to give me pleasure. Like that. Like our His Holiness Navagendra Maharaj, when he came, he was telling this. Kama bahutu par jeevan thoda us par man ka chanchal ghoda. He was telling. He was telling, see, kaam bahut, are kaam bahut duniya mein karne ke liye. He said, lekin jeevan thoda. But the life is very short. So kaam also has another meaning. We have unlimited desires also. I want this, I will enjoy this, I will enjoy that, I will enjoy that, I will enjoy this, so many things. But uspar man ka chanchal ghoda. But this ghoda man, it's making us run here and there, but we are very tired in this world. Fortunate is the living entity who becomes tired with material enjoyment. But if some fellows don't get tired so easily. They go on, getting more and more kicks. They think, this kick was not so bad. Think like that. You know? So, if somebody gets tired with material enjoyment, then they can turn to Krishna. You see. See, there are two types of atmas, paragatma and pratyagatma, it is said. These paragatmas, what they do, they turn their back to Krishna and all they can see is only matter. And then they think, they become atheistic, they become averse to Krishna. You tell them about Krishna, they say, hey, where is Krishna? Imagine, for example, Krishna is here. I am looking like, hey, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I can't see him because I have turned my back to him. They only see matter and they run outwards in this world, like Bahirartha Manina, as he says, you know, like that. On the other hand, there are Pratyagatmas. What they do? They internalize their consciousness, they turn to Krishna, and they deepen their understanding of Krishna by study of the Shastra and by hearing the Super Soul in the heart internally and hearing from the spiritual master externally and faithfully following the rules and regulations taught in the scriptures. So they can get to see Krishna very easily. For them, the matter goes behind. Krishna comes in the front. So they can see Krishna and they are Pratyagatmas. So this Paragatma, Pratyagatma concept is explained also in the scriptures. So we are considered fortunate if we can understand that in the name of enjoyment we are suffering. Like you heard the story, that's what I was telling. Maharaj was telling one fellow while he was, you know, climbing up a hill. It was very steep and he was feeling very tired. So he prayed to God, oh, please give me a goda. It'll be nice for me to ride. So the godi came. So he sat on the top for some distance. He went. He thought, I'm enjoying. But later on, the godi delivered a baby. And once the godi delivers the baby, the goda was not ready to move. So he was wondering what to do. How can I leave it behind and go? Then he thought, I will employ a trick, he thought. So he picked up the godi's baby and kept on the shoulder. And when he walked ahead, the godi also started walking. Because the mother always wants to follow the child, you see, take care of the child. So he told everybody, see how intelligent I am. The godi was not ready to walk, get up and walk. Now I have made her walk now. And somebody told him, are you intelligent or are you foolish? Earlier you were walking only with your bag. Now with your bag you are carrying a godi baby also. Is it not? This is how Maya is. Maya actually, like somebody thinks this house is small, let us go to a little bigger house, we can be more comfortable. You go to a little bigger house, then you feel, oh, this house is empty. You know, we have to fill it up with something. Then you fill it up with some furniture, some washing machine, this machine, that machine. Then you have to spend for them. In this way, the life can become very complex, you see. So that's why he's talking about these two types of souls, very important. Ajohi eko jushamano anushete jahatyena bhukta bhogam ajo anyaha. Either he says. Now this is another verse also from Shweta Shvetra Upanishad. Sa vishvakrit vishvavid atmayonihi jnakala kalo gunisarva vidya pradhana kshetrajna patir guneshaha samsara moksha sthiti bandha hetu. See, Krishna is called as Sa Vishvakrit. Means he is the creator of the whole universe. Vishvavit means knower of the whole universe. Atmayonihi, he has no beginning and no end. He has an eternal existence. Nyakkala kalo is a knower and he is the personified time. Guni, he is full of transcendental qualities. Sarva vidya, there is nothing that he does not know, it says. And then it talks about pradhana, kshetrajna, kshetrajna patir. Three things it is talking. What is this? This pradhana is the maya shakti. Kshetrajna is the jiva shakti. Kshetrajna pati is chit shakti. Three things are explained here. Yeah. You see, the chit shakti is completely spiritual. Just a few minutes ago, I told you about the swarupa shakti. The swarupa shakti expands herself as chit shakti, and jiva shakti, and maya shakti. She expands like this. What is this maya shakti? She is a shadow of chit shakti. Chit shakti is completely spiritual. Chit shakti is in the spiritual sky, the spiritual world comes from chit shakti. The material world, along with 24 material elements, that comes from maya shakti. So it's very amazing that the Chit Shakti produces a spiritual world with all its variegatedness and varieties. The Maya Shakti produces material world. She's also very busy serving Krishna, creating 24 material elements and the jivas with all their independently enacted programs for enjoyment. That is Maya Shakti. And the Jiva Shakti produces Jivatmas. The Jiva Shakti is the one which causes expansion of the Jivatmas from spiritual world to come to material world. That is Jiva Shakti, we call it. And what do the Jiva Shaktis do? They don't serve Krishna like the Chit Shakti and Maya Shakti serve. The Jivatmas have their own independent program, taking advantage of the material resources they are running here and there to enjoy. And then he is explaining. So here is the question raised. If the Lord is always united with His potencies and everything is done by His potencies, then He must be working by their assistance and involvement. Therefore, how can He be called independent and self-willed? He is asking. It's a very beautiful question. You see, Lord is having all these Shaktis through which He is doing all the activity. Is Lord not the doer? And is He not fully involved? So he's explaining the answer. Activities display the Lord's Shakti, yet His Shakti is controlled by His Icha, desire, which thereby indicates the Shaktiman, the possessor and controller of Shakti. See, Krishna is called a Shaktiman. He possesses Shaktis and He controls the Shaktis, with which He does all the activities in this world. Like I told you about the three, Jiva Shakti, Maya Shakti and Chit Shakti. Here he explains a very important thing. In the Chit Shakti, there is a Chit Vaichitraya, we call it, which is actually the spiritual variegatedness and spiritual activities. Similarly, there is Maya Vaichitraya also. The Maya Vaichitraya is the material world with all its materially enacted activities. What we are seeing, out of the two, which experience we have instantly, easily we have? Maya Vaichitraya. Like you see, a man sees a woman sees a man, there is instant samadhi. Immediate attraction in this world. That is Maya Vaichitriya. And what are these bodies of man and woman made up of? Three modes of material nature, which is doomed to suffer. Actually, material world with its material products means it's misery producing. Matter means misery producing. Spirit, bliss producing. One should know the difference. Matter is dark, spirit is light. And matter is heavy, and spirit is lightweight also. And matter is impure, spirit is pure. So we should know the difference. So the Maya Vaichitriya, or the material world with its emotions and sentimental attachments, and the ups and downs we experience in life in the name of Sukha, Dukkha, Man, Apaman, Chita, Ushna, and all these things, this is simply like a movie theater. Like you see, when you go to a movie theater, you know, the first thing they do is what? They close all the doors and windows and everything, and they put a pitch darkness. Everybody starts giving whistle. Pee, 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 pee. You have seen that? Isn't it? When they create the darkness, because they like the darkness. Yeah. Similarly, living entities in this world want ignorance. Ignorance is bliss for them. Ignorance is? For whom? For those living in fool's paradise, which is technically called material world. Yeah. So when everybody is subjected to darkness, living entities are very happy. They give out whistles. Very nice. Let's enjoy life. Then after that, the movie starts. And they give the bell. Everybody is clapping hands. Very good. And then the moving illusion starts on the screen. Once the illusion is put up, slowly you get into the movie. Then you identify with the hero or with the heroine and different characters. We become so absorbed in that movie so much. If a heroine is crying, then everybody takes kerchief and cries. Everybody's crying, isn't it? Yeah. When there is a very nice duet song, there is a movie, some hero and heroine are singing, dancing, then everybody, you know, they also enjoy. If there's a stunt scene, you kick your neighbor. Isn't it? So we identify with the moving illusion. So much we get absorbed in that. And then when the movie ends, sometimes in the middle of the movie, sometimes the light is on. They put on the lights, there is some problem. No, they put on the light. What do people do, you think? They break the benches, they give out whistles, hey, put off the light, don't disturb us. Similarly, sometimes a Hare Krishna devotee comes in between. So you'll find mother, father, everybody, because you know, people are afraid that my son or daughter will not do economic development. They were so nicely in illusion, why these people are bringing out of illusion? People don't like, they become angry towards devotees. So devotees actually are trying to put on the lights and tell the people, Prabhus, Matajis, you know, this is a cinema theater, we should quit this place. And outside, your actual life is outside. This is only a movie. So cinema may be a 6-hour movie, life is a 60-year movie. You see, Shakespeare said that, life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing, he said. Another time Shakespeare also said, life is like a drama stage where all of us are actors. We come, we act and we push off. That also he said. So this is the material world, Maya Vaichitriya. Maya Vaichitriya is simply, the relationships are all temporary. At the time of birth we have one attachment. Who is it? Mother. Then mother shows hand to father, then it becomes two attachments. Then when you have a brother and sister, it becomes four. Then when you get married, then you have five. Then after you get three, four children, it becomes nine. Like that. And then they get four children each, it becomes multiplied 20 or 25. In this way, our attachments multiply in this world. And the more the attachments, the more we become forgetful of the spiritual sky, Paravyoma and Chidvaichitriya. We just get carried away in this world, we forget. So, the Chit Vaichitriya is completely pure, as explained here. Here he says here, the Maya Shakti is but a shadow of the Lord Swarup Shakti, internal potency. Activities carried out by the Maya Shakti are real, but being impermanent, they are not eternal. These defects of the Maya Shakti do not exist in Paramatattva. But desire for Leela is inherent in the Paramatattva. Desire for Leela means Krishna also wants Leela. Krishna likes Leela. Krishna likes to be with his devotees. He likes to exchange pastimes with his devotees. Shri Hari, and the transformations that manifest on the basis are Chid Vaichitriya, spiritual variegatedness. These transformations are sublime, transcendental manifestations of prema. There is not the slightest trace of imperfection in them. By his inconceivable potency, the Supreme Lord has the prerogative to create this universe through the agency of his Maya Shakti, and yet his original spiritual potency and identity still remain undivided, unaffected and intact. Like that, then he explains about the Maya Shakti, variegatedness in the material world, which are diametrically opposite. Maya Vaichitriya, material variety, is the perverted and corrupt reflection of Chit Vaichitriya. So I told you that the Swarup Shakti expands as three. As Maya Shakti, as Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti and Jiva Shakti. So the Swarup Shakti is fully available in Chit Shakti also. But in the Jiva Shakti, it is available in minute proportion. All the things in the Swarup Shakti is in minute proportion in Jiva Shakti. Whereas in the Maya Shakti, it is pervertedly reflected. These three. That is also explained how. See, Radharani is actually called as the Purna Swarup Shakti. Sri Krishna is Purna Shaktiman and the supreme energetic in his highest original form. And Srimati Radhika is Purna Shakti, his supreme energy in her highest original form. And she is original divine energy of the Lord, identical with him. So he gives a couple of examples. Like if you have musk, you know musk? Kasturi. The kasturi and the smell, can you separate them? You cannot separate. So Shakti and Shaktiman are like that. You cannot separate the kasturi and the smell. Another example given here is the sun and the heat, or the light. Sun and the heat and light cannot be separated. There is one verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur elsewhere. Ataparakita Suryana Hinjani Krishna Virahit Radha Vira Hita Krishna Nahi Himani, he says. Atapa Rakita Surya Nahi Jani. I don't know a sun without sunlight, he says. Similarly, I have not seen how can Lord exist without his Shakti, he says. Radha Vira Hita Krishna Nahi Himani. I will never accept Krishna single, alone. Sometimes you find in some Gorakhpur edition of some Bhagavad Gita or something, you find in the beginning one poor Krishna standing alone with nobody around. Huh? You've seen, there is no Yamuna, there are no cows, there is no Radharani also is not there. He is practically lonely, standing alone. Krishna is never like that. Only you can find Vishnu like that, as Paramatma standing alone here. Sorry. Even he has a company, Jiva is there with him. He has got a purpose for which he comes in the heart also. So, Lord is never alone. You'll find Krishna always as associates. You will find cows are sitting behind. There are calves, there is Radharani, there are monkeys, there are peacocks, there are butterflies, there are sparrows, sometimes sitting even on his flute also. In those days when Balaji had come, in the early days, one of our devotees had put a butterfly in Balaji's hand, you know. So I told him, hey, you cannot play with Balaji like this. Huh? Only you can play with Kunjabir. Kunjabir can have a sparrow sitting in his flute. Huh? He can have a butterfly, you know, sitting on his head also. Yeah. Huh? So, because Krishna is never alone, he's always with his associates, always. Another name of the Chit Shakti is Antaranga Shakti. And Jiva Shakti is Tatastha Shakti. And Bahiranga Shakti is, Maya Shakti is Bahiranga Shakti. Yeah. Although Sarup Shakti is one, she executes activities through these three, her three extensions. All the eternal inherent qualities of Sarup Shakti are fully manifest in Chit Shakti. They are minutely present in Jiva Shakti and perversely reflected in Maya Shakti. You see? Also, Sarup Shakti possesses three intrinsic qualities. Hladini, Sandini, Samvit. Hladini means pleasure-giving potency. Sandini is sustaining potency. Samvit is cognizance or this thing, knowledge potency. It requires a little explanation. You see, Hladini is presided especially by Srimati Radharani. Hladini potency, pleasure-giving potency. Just like we'll complete this one. Another one is the Sandini. Sandini expands the whole spiritual world, the bhumi of the spiritual world, and all the other things which Krishna uses, like the dress of Krishna, the flute of Krishna, they are all expansions of Sandini Shakti. And Submit means the knowledge potency. See, the Hladini Shakti keeps Sri Krishna engrossed in sublime ecstasy. The Samvit Shakti manifests myriads of mystical moods and relationships. Samvit means knowledge. And also, Sri Krishna playing on his flute to attract the gopis, taking the cows to jungle of Vrindavan, performing rasa dance, they are all in Samvit Shakti. That means Krishna thinking of doing some action and planning to act and acting. That is Samvit Shakti. The Sandini Shakti maintains the spiritual abode of Sri Vraja, he says. Now he's explaining one very deep concept here. He's saying the Hladini Shakti is present in the Jivatma as how? As Brahmananda. Hladini Shakti. That means as spirit souls we all can realize Aham Brahma Asmi. So that Brahmananda is actually our Hladini Shakti that we have. That the pleasure that we can have. And our Samvit Shakti is reflected in the Jiva as what? Brahma Gyan. I am not the body, I am spirit soul. That is our Samvit Shakti. And our Sandini Shakti is what? Anu Chaitanya. We can realize that I am Anu Chaitanya. Krishna is called Vibhu Chaitanya. We are called Anu Chaitanya. These three things. I am Anu Chaitanya, that is Samvit. That is Sandini. And Samvit is Aham Brahma Asmi, we can realize that. And to experience the Brahmananda, that is our Hladini Shakti. Similarly, in Maya Shakti, how these three are coming, Sandini, Samvet, Ladini, how is it coming? Sandini is juxtaposed or reposed on Maya Shakti as what? 14 planetary systems in this world. That is Sandini. And the Samvet is Jadavidya, the material knowledge or material science. So what you study in engineering college, what is it? That is Samvit's reflection on Maya Shakti. So we get Jadavidya. And Hladini is what? How is it reposed on Maya Shakti? It is Parthivarasa, sense gratification. Either it is physical or emotional or anything material, material sense gratification. That is, so in this way, the Swarup Shakti is reflecting through the all the three. Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti and Jiva Shakti also. She is reflecting like this. In this way, he is explaining one last thing about Shakti. We will read and we will conclude this part. Yeah. He's asking a very interesting question here. Here he is saying, in this conversation here, that it seems that all the things that Krishna does, it seems that Krishna is very much in the background. Everything is done by Shakti. For example, he says here, if you see, the Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Maya Shakti are the emanations of Swarup Shakti. Again we say, Hladini, Samvit, Sandini are all three aspects of Swarup Shakti. And then they act upon the three emanations, Chit, Jiva and Maya Shakti. They are also activities of Shakti. The spiritual world, spiritual body, spiritual relationships, spiritual pastimes and so on are also manifestations of Shakti. How then may Sri Krishna, Shaktiman, Purusha, the source of Shakti, be identified? It seems that Krishna doesn't have much role to play. Shaktis are only doing everything. The answer is very simple. Krishna is the master of Shakti, possessor of Shakti and controller of Shakti. And the Shakti acts based on Krishna's Ichcha, Krishna's desire. When Krishna, in fact Krishna's desires are understood by the Shakti. Here when I was talking these things, I didn't talk about some more different Shaktis like, Ichcha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Om, Brahma Shakti, Vishnu Shakti, Shiva Shakti, these are all Shaktis. You will see that there is one Leela Shakti which exactly understands Krishna's mind and she arranges pastimes to please Krishna in such a way that even Krishna will pretend as if he doesn't even know. The Leela Shakti goes ahead of Krishna. Even Krishna sometimes wonders, like you see when Agasura was opening his mouth and all the covered boys were entering into Agasura's mouth. After everybody entered, Krishna was thinking, hey, how will I save my boys? Now all my friends have entered. Now this big snake is going to devour them. And that Krishna's wandering is discussed by the Acharyas. Can God wonder? Is anything likely to happen in this creation which can put even God to wonder? Generally we wonder God's activities. But sometimes the Leela Shakti can do things which can make Krishna also wonder. Because she creates some suspense. But ultimately the suspense is for what? For pleasing Krishna only. Like another example is, when Krishna was trying to speak to Rukmini, his whole idea was to tease her and make her angry. But the end result of teasing her, Krishna said, actually you see I got married to you, but now if you wish you can marry someone else more qualified than me, I have no qualification, Krishna said, I am simple covered boy, nobody knows my caste, whether I am a Vaishya or a Kshatriya. When I was born in the jail, I was Kshatriya, but I lived in a Vaishya's house. So many things he said, and hearing this, Rukmini, she dropped her chamar and she fell on the ground, unconscious. And Krishna was shocked. Krishna immediately sprinkled some water and woke her up. So this is actually arrangement of Leela Shakti to even amuse Krishna or amaze Krishna. This kind of... And now you may wonder, is Leela Shakti more powerful than Krishna also? No, Leela Shakti is Krishna Shakti only. But she acts in a way to please Krishna. I'll tell you an example. One time we had gone to one house program. There one of the spiritual masters, he had come for a program. So what devotees did, they kept some lot of flowers in a balloon kind of thing, So when the spiritual master came and sat, an asan, somebody shot it with a gun kind of thing. Then all the flowers fell. And that Swami was amazed. Hey, what is this? He asked, are demigods showering flowers from the sky? Where are these flowers coming from? So they wanted to amaze him. Who are they? They are his disciples only. So disciples wanted to please the guru. So they made that arrangement. Of course, we could have done a regular style of taking flower and offering it at the feet, which is regularly done. They wanted to do something new. And they wanted to amaze him also. So the Lila Shakti is doing something similar to this with Krishna also. So by doing this with Krishna, who is pleased? Only Krishna is pleased. Everybody is pleased. Krishna is pleased, Lila Shakti is pleased, all the jivas are pleased. In this way there is lot of dynamism and fun. Like, in this world generally we think, life should be very steady and balanced and there should be no problem. So oftentimes devotees think, when I go to spiritual world, I'll get up in the morning, peacefully do some chanting, dancing, and I can relax, there'll be no tension. I am very sorry to say there'll be a lot of tension in spiritual world. Because Krishna, through the Leela Shakti, will create so many situations, you are not going to know what is going to happen next. That suspense is... See, suspense is what gives adventure to life. Is it not? How many of you like adventure? Thank God. So you all understand. So in spiritual world, there are no demons, but there is the sound of demons. When covered boys sometimes go in the pasture, suddenly they hear some sound of demons, they come running to Krishna. So although there are no demons, because there is also suspense in spiritual world also. In order to, there is separation and union between Krishna and his devotees to increase the sweetness of that relationship, which is arranged by Leela Shakti like this. So in this way, all these Shaktis which you are talking here, they all originate from one supreme Shakti, which is Swarup Shakti, which is Radharani. In fact, in this Kladini and Samvit are preceded actually by Radharani. Sandini is preceded by Balramji, Sandini. Kladini is the main Radharani, but when she is called as Swarup Shakti, the Swarup Shakti's main influence is on this too. So these are original. We are talking about this Shakti Vichar because we should know that when we are when we understand who is this personality, Srimati Radharani, then only we can respect her properly. Whatever Shakti the scientists are talking about, chemical Shakti, physical Shakti, kinetic Shakti, potential Shakti, electric Shakti, they don't know. These are all extensions of ultimately Swarup Shakti only. These are tiny material expansions of her energies. She has innumerable energies. Because without Shakti, the whole world is permeated by Shakti and Shaktiman. The Shakti takes shelter of Shaktiman. And we take shelter of Shaktis, you will see. Like for example, all the jivas are subordinate to Maya. And Maya is simply acting according to the Icha of Krishna. According to the desire of Krishna. And this Maya Shakti, she is only a shadow of Srimati Radharani's Chit Shakti. If you see, Chit Shakti is spiritual. It's effulgent. It's brilliant. And Maya Shakti is only a shadow of her. You can imagine if the shadow potency can work so powerfully, how much more the original potency of Srimati Radharani's Chit Shakti, how it must be acting, you can imagine. And there are innumerable things unique to the Chit Shakti. For example, you desire something, it will be immediately produced. That's the nature of Chit Shakti. In spiritual world, there are desire trees. You desire something to offer, immediately you will get. Prabhupada says you can get mango in all seasons from the desire tree. Not only mango, any type of fruit you want. Similarly, the cows also give limitless supply of milk any time of the day. There is nothing. Like we say, Srimati Radharani never cooks anything for the second time. She always makes new items. She says, in India, probably we know the maximum number of items to cook. But still, you will find these kind of potencies are there in the spiritual Shakti, Chit Shakti, you will find. Now we are in the material realm and we are talking about the spiritual realm. How can one access that realm which we are talking about, which we are glorifying? We will discuss a beautiful pastime which is connected to our own sampradaya. There was one Dukkiya. It was called Dukki or Dukki Krishnadas. It's called Dukkiya. He was a born devotee of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu right from childhood. So when he met his spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya, he gave him the name Krishnadas. So he came to be called as Dukki Krishnadas. Or some people would call him only Krishnadas, they would call him. So this Krishnadas, he was serving and being trained and guided under Jiva Goswami Pad by the order of his guru. He came to Vrindavan. So Narottamadas Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and this Dukki Krishnadas. They three were together. They were like contemporaries and they were disciples of different gurus. Narottamadas Thakur was a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, isn't it? And this Dukki Krishnadas, he was a disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya. And who was the other one? Srinivas Acharya, he was a disciple of Gopalpada Goswami. So they were trained under Jiva Goswami. So when Dukki Krishnadas came, he wanted to take instruction from Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami told him that he taught him Bhagavatam. As he heard the Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam deeply touched his heart. And he became awakened in Krishna consciousness. So one day he offered obeisances to Jiva Goswami. And he begged him, please kindly offer me some seva by which I can attain the grace of Srimati Radharani. So then he gave him a service. You go to the seva kunj, you sweep in the last portion of the night, which is actually the early morning prahar. You sweep. You do this seva, he gave him. So he would go to the place and early morning he would sweep, and in the evening he would chant, he would dance, and he would cry out in intense devotion. He developed a great devotion and he performed devotion service with great sincerity. And he was executing the service. One day when he was sweeping, suddenly he came across a Nupur, ankle bell with small bells in it. He picked it up. It was so fragrant. He smelled its fragrance and as soon as he touched it, he became filled with bliss, spiritual bliss. And he touched it to his eyes, he touched it to his chest, and was wondering, whose is this? It appears to be a very divine commodity. What it is, he was thinking. At that time, Srimati Radharani, she called Lalita and told her that I lost my Nupur yesterday. Did you find it anywhere? So Lalita went and searched in that place all around in Seva Kunja. She couldn't find it anywhere. And then she came to this. Of course, Lalita was not in her original form. She appeared like a very simple, ordinary, covered girl. She came like that. So she came in front of Shyamananda and asked, did you see? When you swept the floor, did you see any Nupur? And he said, yes, I did find a Nupur. Then he asked her, who are you? She just said, I am just a Sakhi. And my mistress, my master, she has lost this Nupur. Can you please give it back to me? He said, you see, this is a very costly one, made of gold. And I will only give it to the owner, whomever it belongs to. You call your mistress, ask her to come. I will measure it against her feet. If it is exactly fitting, then only I'll give it back, he said. So she went and told Radharani. So Radharani, of course, came in a disguised form. She came like a covered girl. But she didn't show her full swarupa to him at that time. She came like an ordinary covered girl. So she came there. When Dukki Krishnadas saw her and asked her, how did this come here? How did your Nupur fall in this place? Then she said, I come every day to this place in the night. I perform rasa dance. Yesterday night I lost. So she told the truth. It just slipped out of her tongue. She just said it. So immediately he said, oh, that means you are Nikunjeshwari, Srimati Radharani. He said that, and then he begged her, please kindly reveal me your true form. Don't hide yourself from me. So Radharani smiled and she picked up the Nupur from his hands and touched the sand of Raj. And she called him near and she put a tilak on his forehead. With that Nupur she put a tilak. And then she gave it back to him. And Lalita told her, Radharani, he is begging you to reveal your form. Please reveal your form. She said, you have never seen my form before. I will reveal it to you now. And then she showed her form as the Srimati Radharani in the spiritual sky, her most effulgent spiritual form. Seeing that form, Shaman Dukhi Krishnadas fell on the ground unconscious. So again when he got up, she gave him the name. Your name will be Shyamananda today. At that time Lalita in his ears gave him a mantra also, a special mantra. Ishta mantra she gave. And then Radharani disappeared, Lalita disappeared, and Shyamananda, now the new name he got, Shyamananda. Why he gave him the name Shyamananda? She told him the reason also. My dear Dukhi Krishnadas, the way you rendered service in Seva Kunj by sweeping the floor every day with so much intense devotion and with no duplicity, day after day, month after month, you rendered the service. I am pleased with your service. My name is Shyama, and you gave Ananda to Shyama, so your name will be Shyamananda. Like this she gave. One who gave pleasure to Srimati Radharani is called Shyamananda. Shyamananda got up and he ran to Jiva Goswami and narrated the whole episode to him. What happened? Jiva Goswami was very pleased, very happy. Now gradually all the devotees came to know in the ashram also, because we are having a different type of tilak. You know, and he got a new name and he got a Ishta mantra also. It was a talk of the town. In the meantime, the news went to Hridaya Chaitanya, who was an Ambika Kalna. And he heard that his disciple has changed his tilak now. And he has changed his name also. What happened to this fellow? He came running. So as soon as he came, he told his disciple, how have you given up the path of righteousness and you have independently done something? So in some places it is said he caught hold of him and gave a good beating also. But some places it says he didn't beat him. He called him and said, you are wearing a new tilak. He took a dhoti and tried to rub that tilak. The more he tried to rub it, the more it became prominent. And then he was surprised. What is this? That night, Srimati Radharani came in his dream, Hridaya Chaitanya's dream, and told him, see, your disciple has pleased me. So I have only given him a new tilak and I have given him a new name. And I have given him Ishta Mantra. Don't be surprised. So the next day he got up, he called his disciple and embraced him and said, you have got the blessings of Srimati Radharani. So in this way, sometimes you find Srimati Radharani's grace or Srimati Radharani's glance coming upon somebody directly, and in our sampradaya also we can hear such examples of such wonderful pastimes where Radharani's grace becomes very practically evident on a very practical level. So there is a sadhana deha, there is siddha deha. Right now what we have is called sadhana deha. Now we are doing sadhana now. The sadhana deha has got grass body, subtle body and the atma, and we are still experiencing a lot of grassness in our body, grassness and conditionings. But to the degree a disciple becomes deeply touched by the guru's instructions coming in the parampara and the transcendental pastimes of Shishi, Radha and Krishna, gradually the grassness, the stulata reduces. Gradually one becomes lighter and lighter and lighter and purer, more and more. Just like we have the grass body on earth, there is celestial body on heaven, there is spiritual body in the spiritual sky. So eventually our spiritual body will become more prominent, and the grass body, subtle body, they will simply become like a mere shell, just like in a coconut, you see. The inside portion withdraws itself. Similarly, to the degree we awaken to the spiritual truths, we will not be disturbed by the allurements and temptations of this world, which are reposed on the gross and subtle bodies. Right now, the senses are tormenting, the mind is distracting, The intelligence is confused and bewildered. It's all due to material identification. To the degree we identify more with the spiritual truths, and the matter will go to the background, and the spirit will become very prominent, and it will blossom more and more and more. See, on this auspicious day today, you know, Narada had come to Barsana because he had come to know that Gokuleshwari, Shrimati Radharani had appeared in this world. So he wanted to take darshan. So first he went to see Krishna, who had appeared in Nanda Bhavan. He met him, and then he came to Barsana also. In Barsana, he didn't know where she was born, because he knew that it will be a mysterious thing. People will not know who Shrimati Radharani is. So he would go to every house of Vajibasi there, and then check whether are there any children, small baby. He'll check. And then everywhere he would go, people would wash his feet and bow down to him and offer him some fruits and everything. Then he would go to the next house. So house to house he was going. And then he came to the house of Vrishabhanu Prabhu. So he asked Vrishabhanu, you know, how many children you have? Then Vrishabhanu immediately called Sridhama. So Sridhama came, a small boy. He came and offered obeisances to Narada Muni. Narada Muni picked him up and embraced him and said, you know, very soon you will join Krishna's wonderful pastimes in this world, which we will be performing. You are very fortunate. And he congratulated him. And then Narada Muni was about to leave. At that time, Vrishabhanu told him that there is one more child. I have a small child, but I wasn't very eager to show you. Because the problem with this child is she doesn't open her eyes. She doesn't speak anything. She is deaf and dumb, and as if, she is mute. But she is the most beautiful. Everybody who came said she is the most beautiful child they have ever seen. She has a golden complexion. Narada Muni thought, this is the personality I was looking for. He said, okay, I will meet the child, you all be there. So he kept them all in the veranda, drawing room, and then he went inside to see the child. So as soon as he saw the child, Shrimati Radharani lying in the bed, he picked up the child and kept her on his lap, and started offering profuse praises to the child, saying that you are actually Ishwari of all the Ishwaris in this world. Wife of Shiva, wife of Indra, wife of Brahma. They all come and offer you worship. In fact, you are the mother of the whole creation. Even Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Chandra, they all seek your favor. And by your one glance, we can bring about immense prosperity in the whole creation. And you are assisting the Supreme Lord in all His leelas, in Srishti, in Stiti, in Pralaya, within this world. And in the spiritual world, you are existing as the Swarup Shakti, one who, without whose presence the Supreme Lord has no happiness. You are the one who gives the supreme happiness to Him. So all these wonderful prayers He offered. And then He kept her back on the bed, and then He offered obeisances. And as He circumambulated her a few times, suddenly Shrimati Radharani, the child, she grew into a beautiful Kishori form of 14 years of age. And along with her were her associates called as Kaya Vyuha. We call the 8 associates like Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Tungavidya, Rangadevi, Sudevi, all of them. They all were surrounding her in that beautiful form, and they were all offering her worship. They were all having different, every one of them was serving her in different ways. And seeing that form, again Narada Muni offered obeisances and offered profuse prayers to her. And in this way, when he was circumambulating, suddenly Vrishabhanu came into the room and he saw Narada Muni circumambulating the child and offering obeisances. He asked, what's happening? He asked, Narada Muni, why are you offering namaskar to this child? Narada Muni, nothing, don't worry, he said, and he left the place. So, in this way, Shrimati Radharani is worshipped by great personalities like Narada, or great personalities like Sanaka Sanatana, all these Kumaras. Sanaka Sanatana Varanita Charite, as we say. She is worshipped as the supreme Swarup Shakti, the original or Adya Shakti. Worshipped. So, That is the reason you'll find when Krishna says Mahatmanastu Maham Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashitam. He says, because if somebody takes shelter of that Daivim Prakriti, he is called as a Mahatma, he says. Actually, Indra had become a Duratma. Again, he became Mahatma by taking shelter of Lakshmi. You will see, when Indra had committed a big crime, what was the crime he committed? Killing Vritrasur, who was a Mahabhagavata. At that time, you know, Indra lost all his luster on his face and he became afflicted by sin. One old witch who was coughing tuberculosis she had, and her body was infested. She was very skinny and bony, and there was blood coming out of her body. That witch was chasing after Indra, after Indra killed the Vritrasur. And she was, and Indra would go into a cave, she would come into cave also. You know, Indra would hide in some bushes, she will come there also. Indra flew to heaven, she came there. Wherever he went, she was chasing behind. At last, Indra flew and flew and flew and went to Manasarovar Lake, where he entered into a lotus, inside the flower, and he went inside the stem. At the bottom of the lotus stem, Lakshmiji was residing. So he went and fell at her feet. Oh, mother, besides you, no one else can save me. I have done a great maha aparad, Vaishnava aparad, big aparad I have done. Please forgive me. I have killed a very great Vaishnava. So he took shelter of Lakshmi and served her for thousands of years, and he got freed from the offenses. And then later on again he was reposted in his position. You will see that. So in this way you will find Sri Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi or Sita, they are actually called as the Supreme Mother. Like here we were reading Jagatera Mata, he says. This verse he says, Ateva Sarva Puja Paramadevata Sarva Palika Sarva Jagatera Mata. She is the protectress of all. Sarva Palika Sarva Jagatera Mata. Actually, in the spiritual life, when we talk about service, in the beginning, the service is, you know, very practical, physical. Just like, for example, you clean the floor, or you make a garland, you stitch a dress, you hear a lecture, or you sing for the Lord. But as one becomes more and more mature in devotional service, simply assisting the Lord in his mood by taking part in the pastimes of the Lord itself is service. Just like you see Yashoda Maya, what service she is doing. Of course she does a lot of service also. But simply keeping Krishna in her lap and playing with Krishna is also a service in the spiritual platform. Similarly, the spiritual world is filled with spiritual activities where Radha and Krishna are the most predominant personalities in the spiritual sky. And everything revolves around them. I saw a beautiful picture of Radha and Krishna and all the gopis doing rasa dance. And at the top, there is Shiva and Parvati going in their celestial plane and showering flowers. There is Brahma and Saraswati going in their plane and offering flowers. Because when Krishna performs this, Bhagavan apite ratri sharadotfulla mallikaha. In that verse, he says, Yogamayam upashritaha, he says. Taking shelter of Yogamaya, Krishna performed this rasa dance. He was not afflicted by Mahamaya, like the common living entities in this world. But by Yogamaya potency, he performs this wonderful leela, where they are showering the flowers, and even all the devatas, they are trying to gain an entry into this pastime. When they cannot gain entry, they fly in the sky and just shower flowers. Because when Shiva tries to gain entry into rasa dance, he dressed himself up like a gopi. And when he went, Lalita Vishaka are the inspectors. They are the interview panel before allowing anybody inside. When they inspected, they said, all your gopi dresses are attractive. Who are you? He said, I am a gopi. But suddenly they found the snake was there. So they said, hey, who is this gopi with a snake around the neck? When they told Krishna about this new gopi, he said, this is none other than Lord Shiva only. So he said, you become Gopeshwar Mahadevan, stand at the entrance, he said. So you can imagine, this goes to show that even Lord Shiva wants to gain entry into this beautiful dance. Lakshmi wants to gain entry into this beautiful dance also. And anybody who gains entry, they become gopis. Like Narada becomes Naradi Gopi to gain entrance into this. And the leader of all the gopis is Srimati Radharani, the ultimate leader, whose service attitude is oceanic. So oceanic that even Krishna is trying to understand it. He is beginning to understand it when he becomes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that mood. So Srila Prabhupada, in his lectures, there is one thing which he very much emphasizes, with which I like to conclude that morning talk today. Prabhupada saw that many devotees in ISKCON, in his times, when they came to Vrindavan, they were very eager to, you know, go to different places in Vrindavan and learn more about Radha Krishna pastimes and Gopi's pastimes and everything. So one day morning, Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class and he found very few devotees. He asked, "Where are the devotees?" He asked. Devotees said, "Prabhupada, they have gone for shopping." Somebody said, "Prabhupada, they have gone to Radha Kund, Shyam Kund." Some people said, "Prabhupada, they have gone to Sarkamambalit Govardhan Hill," you know. And evening, and then Prabhupada had scolded the devotees that, "Why are they roaming in Vrindavan? Are they thinking they will find Radha and Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan? You will not be able to see Radha and Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. You have to serve Krishna in such a way that he will want to see you." That is actual technique. So in the evening when devotees came back, Prabhupada's room was crowded with devotees and his window was only filled with heads of devotees. Everybody was peeping in and Prabhupada was speaking very strongly. He said, "What do you think about Vrindavan?" He said, "There are so many Vaishnavas who come here, who take a dip in the chill waters of Yamuna in the early morning and with cloth unwiped, with the same wet cloth, and they circumambulate Govardhan, they are chanting Krishna's names for decades together, and they perform severe austerities with no duplicity, with great purity, and with deep understanding of Radha and Krishna Tattva." And Prabhupada said, "The method of approaching Radha and Krishna is to first hear through your ears. Actually, Vrindavan should be awakened in your heart first. Then you can see with your eyes. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa hriday santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti." So the santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti, in the heart of the devotees, the Vrindavan should be awakened. Then with your eyes, you will get a premanjan. That's the method of seeing Vrindavan. And you, even if you go to the bushes of Vrindavan and search for Radha Krishna, you won't get them there. Prabhupada said, it's simply waste of time. So Prabhupada was very strong about it. So this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's teaching also. Do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he will want to see you. It's very easy to understand. Like imagine if a student gets state first in his 10th standard, who will want to see him? Naturally, the principal will want to say, "Hey, who is the student in my college you got state first?" Naturally, the principal calls him to his room. Or he goes to the class and sees and he congratulates him, is it not? Similarly, if somebody is doing a lot of social service and becomes very prominent, just like this Anna Hazare, you see, he was doing anti-corruption and everything. He became very, although he's a very old man, but he has become noticeable. Correct, no? So one becomes noticeable by the Prime Minister of India eventually. Similarly, if we render devotional service non-duplicitously, sincerely, seriously, without any ulterior motivations, and what is the result? We will become noticeable by Srimati Radharani. When she takes notice, because this is a devotional realm. In the material realm, you do material activity, you become noticeable for a material activity. Similarly, in spiritual activity, who is the queen, the supreme queen of spiritual world is Srimati Radharani, Vrindavaneshwari. So if you render devotional service nicely, understanding well that we are being watched at every moment by the eyes of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, we are being watched at every moment. How we render devotional service sincerely, seriously, it will become noticeable. And then what is the result of Srimati Radharani noticing us? When she, just like she noticed the service of Shyamananda or Dukhi Krishna Das, and then she gave her mercy. By enacting this wonderful pastime of leaving her Nupur, so that Shyamananda can take it and offer it back to her, and doing the service, he can get the grace. You see? So, in this way, the grace will surely descend in the lives of those who sincerely practice spiritual life. So, Prabhupada would say, even all the Goswamis, six Goswamis, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they cultivated mood of separation, feelings of separation from Krishna. They always asked, where is Krishna? He Radhe, Vrajadevi Kecha Lalite, Nanda Sunokutaha. Are you in the foot of Govardhan? Are you under the Vamshiva tree? Are you in the bank of Yamuna? Where are you? In this way, loudly, Mahavihvalau, crying loudly, they were searching for Krishna. And Prabhupada says, this is the ideal platform. So, you will read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopi is meditating on Krishna's flute when Krishna goes to the jungle. Prabhupada has beautifully given a summary study in the Krishna book. You can read how the gopis are meditating on Krishna's flute when Krishna goes to the forest. And they are meditating on the flute, they are meditating on the cloud, they are meditating on the bird sitting in the tree, they are meditating on the cow and calf, they are meditating on the deers, they are meditating on different creatures in Vrindavan. How they are all loving Krishna and serving Krishna. The gopis are closing their eyes and thinking, now Krishna has gone with his covered boy friends. Now he may be in this particular spot in Vrindavan forest. Now he may be taking his lunch. Now he may be killing the demons. So they are actually meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. This kind of appreciating Krishna's pastimes and meditating on Krishna's greatness, Krishna's divinity, Krishna's beauty. This is the prerogative of a devotee. And one should actually cultivate aspirations in one's heart. When will the time come when I will be able to eternally be engaged in pure devotional service without getting carried away by the current of Maya's force in this world? So that is a very right aspiration a devotee can have. So Prabhupada used to condemn the sahajayism. Like I have been watching devotees. Like one of the devotees in a temple who left the ashram many years ago, I found out why he left the ashram. He practically had 20-25 books which he brought from Vrindavan, all bulky hardbound books, you know, and Radha Krishna Leela, Govinda Leela Amrit, this kind of big bulky books, you know, Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda, this kind of books, all bulky big books. He has gone to Vrindavan and purchased and is reading. But he doesn't do any practical service. Tell him to sweep the floor, he won't sweep. Tell him to cook, he won't do. But simply reading books, he was becoming a superficial scholar externally. And reading these pastimes can only bewilder us more. You will see there is a description given about how the sakis, the gopis dress Srimati Radharani. There is Ashtaprahari Leela. You had a book on Ashtaprahari Leela. Different how Radharani from the morning, the afternoon, the evening. You will read about Krishna also. Krishna and his covered boys, Leela also. So these are all given vivid description. And these pastimes will not, you know, in any way create any sense to us until we awaken the devotion in our heart. Unless we awaken the attraction and devotion in our heart. Because these pastimes will not make any sense. Sometimes when you read this rasa dance, all these pastimes, somebody may enjoy it. Why? You can put yourself in Purusha's role, Krishna's role, and then you may think so many gopis are around me. One may be artificially enjoying. So many are dancing for me, my pleasure. So he was simply fooling himself. And then after some time he left. He couldn't do anything. That is why without rendering service sincerely, accepting the instructions of the spiritual master, there is no possibility of cleansing the heart. Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddhabe mana kabe hamahe ribo shri vrindavana. See, same thing he says. Heribo Vrindavan means to see Vrindavan. When will I see? When I get rid of the vishaya vasanas in my heart. One day in Bombay, one boy was climbing on the window of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's room. and was trying to. So one brahmachari came and he, you know, gave a slap on his back and said, "Hey, what are you seeing?" He said, "Maharaj ka darshan chahiye, darshan." He was telling. Then he said, "Ye darshan lene ka tarika hai?" Darshan ka matlab jab Maharaj darwaja kholenge tabhi darshan milega. Correct, huh? You cannot try to climb on the window and ask, "Maharaj, look at me now, I want your darshan." Similarly, to get darshan of Radha Kunjabihari, we have to wait. Whenever the altar opens, we will get darshan. And when will the altar open? When Kunjabihari tells the pujari, "Now you open it now." Then he will open. When he gives a signal to him, then only he will open it. Similarly, in our life also, Radha Krishna and all these things will be revealed at the appropriate time. So one should be more eager to serve than to see. This is our philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. We should be more eager to serve than to see. At the same time, it is not wrong to develop an abhilasha, to want to gain an opportunity for eternal service. One can have that abhilasha in one's heart. Let me gain the service, transcendental devotional service. Let me serve, just like Narottamadas Thakur sings in that song, "Radha Krishna Pranam Or Yugala Kishore." He sings. One can sing like this. So, Srimati Radharani is the supreme servant of Krishna, whose devotional attitude charms Krishna. So Krishna himself develops a desire to become his own devotee and release the sweetness of being a devotee. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why Srimati Radharani is adored so much. Mahabhava Swarupini Radha Thakurani, it is said. She is Mahabhava Swarupini. Great acharyas like Goswamis, they have studied the different Ashtasatvika Vikar, the eightfold symptoms manifested by Srimati Radharani in the form of kampa, the body quivering, or the tears springing from her eyes, the hair standing on end, body color changing, and falling unconscious. This kind of wonderful qualities which Srimati Radharani exhibits, these are studied by the Goswamis. And the speech of Srimati Radharani to the bumblebee, which she spoke when Uddhava had come to Vrindavan, these are all studied by the great Goswamis. They are trying to understand the meaning of Mahabhava and the intense devotion to Krishna. So this is the central subject of the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani's devotion to Krishna. And all the living entities are amazed by her devotion, and Krishna is also amazed. And the living entities are learning from her. In minor proportions, they are trying to render some service to her. This is the central theme of the spiritual sky. So, on this auspicious day of Srimati Radharani's appearance into this material world, to expand her compassion to all of us, she appeared in Barsana and performed innumerable pastimes, which are a glimpse of the pastimes happening in the spiritual world eternally. And these pastimes are recorded for our benefit, so that we may hear them, appreciate them, adore them, admire them, worship them, and develop a desire to gain entrance into this wonderful Leela someday, some lifetime after millions of lifetimes. Srimati Radharani ki, Radhashtami Mahamahotsav ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. I'm going to sing a song for a few minutes. Huh?